I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
iZotope, Native Instruments and Plugin Alliance are launching a whole bunch of super hot deals for the Summer of Sound sale. From now until the 6th of July 2023, iZotope are offering all their software for 50% or more off, including the comprehensive mixing and mastering bundle Music Production Suite 5, as well as flagship tools like Ozone, RX, Neutron, and more. All things I use to edit this podcast. Visit iZotope.com and check out the frankly colossal range of things that you can get at extraordinary prices, and take your mixing and editing to a whole new level.
Matt.
Joe.
What did the buffalo say to his son when he dropped him off at school?
I have no idea.
Bye, son. Bye, son.
Bye, son.
And welcome, dear listener, welcome to another episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Joe Banton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt. Hello, dear listener. Welcome back. Matt, we've been talking almost the length of a podcast about guitars already. I should have pressed record much earlier.
When I podcasted with Blake, Tone Mob, a couple months ago, I think we ended up podcasting for like 3 hours, but also had like an hour before and like half an hour afterwards. And I was like, should probably like go and talk to my wife now for a bit. But it was good. It was good. But that's what it's all about. We should probably, we should hit record earlier, but you know, we don't see each other very often, Joe. We don't. This is our main talking time.
You moved to the Midlands, Matt. That's
not the Midlands. Well, I mean, the arse of England. The little sticky out bit.
What does it count as?
What, in terms of counties or in terms of East Anglia?
East Anglia, and that still counts as south, does it? It feels a long way.
East of England.
East. I don't know. Yeah. What East is
Anglia
east?
Is an area east of England, often defined as including the counties of Norfolk, Suffolk, and Cambridgeshire, right, and more rarely, Essex. Oh, but interestingly, this part of England, for our non-English listeners, is one of the oldest parts of England. In fact, Britain's
all the other bits have been built onto it. It was actually just that originally.
Yeah, just that. It just bolted on slowly but surely. I live about 10 minutes away from Britain's oldest recorded town.
Wow, that is impressive.
But obviously,
that's weird because Nottingham has Britain's oldest pub in it. So it must have been a pretty dry area where you are if you've got the oldest town. But
yeah, no beer for a long time. strong Roman history. Obviously, there were people here before the Romans, but they usually just go, we'll start from the Romans and then work on from that. We live near Sutton Hoo. There was a film about that recently with Ralph Fiennes.
What's that?
Sutton Hoo was the Viking burial site. There was all these mounds in this like rich lady's garden, and they decided to dig it up, and underneath it they found like an entire they found a Viking burial ground where a, you know, top level Viking was buried inside a ship.
Wow. Wow. And
buried underground.
That's hardcore.
There's that really famous, probably only famous to English people, there's that really famous like Viking helmet that's always used in like pictures of history and stuff like that. That was discovered there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know exactly the one you mean.
And we went there, me and my family went there not so long ago. We were like, oh, we should always go to Sutton Hoo. You know, it's an important historical place. It is well boring. There's nothing
there.
Do you
have a guitar shop? Got a guitar shop there?
It does not. Ugh. It does not. Unfortunately not. No Viking guitars or any such of the like.
Oh, that is a shame.
But anyway, that's where I live. I don't think I've doxed myself there because that is a big area to cover.
One of the shops in my village, bear in mind my village just has a pub, an Indian takeaway, a fish and chip shop, a barber's.
All in the same building.
And a corner shop. Yeah, well, all in the same square. It's just a tiny square. One of the shops has come up for sale and I was like, I bet this is cheap. At least I could have my own guitar shop. But then I thought, there's like 5,000 people that live in this entire, village.
Do you know what? I must admit, I thought the same recently about various things. And I'm like, you only really need a small shop because you can do so much now via online business and like Reverb.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of people just like flipping gear on Reverb and just making that a full-time career. You know, I know someone, a guy I see at all these various guitar shows and stuff, someone I've known for years and years, and I went to music college with him, and that's what he does. His full-time job is basically
gear flipper.
Buying and selling stuff on Reverb. Wow. Buying it from Facebook Marketplace and then selling it on Reverb. Yeah. I think he said his advantage, because he tours in a functions band quite a lot. He said where he benefits is going to pick up amps that are crazy cheap on eBay because the people can't be bothered to ship them.
Well, amps is the problem. It's not just that people can't be bothered. It is difficult to ship an amp. I mean, people make mistakes with guitars on Facebook Marketplace. So many people don't want to post a guitar, and it really isn't much effort.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. Couriers have got it sorted out, how to do that sort of thing. And it means you're going to get more money for it, because especially if you don't live somewhere really pretty well connected and major, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things. It's actually how Tim's bought a lot of his gear, is looking out for people in, I don't know, places like Leatherhead, trying to flog something, and there's just not enough musicians in that area to do it. And he's like, well, I don't mind the drive, so he always gets a deal.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's the only reason I'm learning to drive.
So you can take advantage of Facebook Marketplace.
So I can basically, like, I mean, I'm sure you've done it, Joe, as a fellow non-driver. You've gone onto eBay and you've gone, oh man, I want that. And then it's like, yeah, I won't ship it.
Collection only. God.
Collection only. And you're just like, how far away is Scotland?
Copy pasted a lot of like towns that I've never heard of.
Some really weird ones. I'm like, is this even a town? And then, you Google it and you're like, oh, right, it's there in nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I'm sure people say that about my town. Certainly want to learn to drive purely for that one reason.
Well, yeah. I mean, speaking of Reverb, Matt, it's gone. The true historic Gibson Les Paul, the R9, has sold over the weekend.
You've done quite a few high-end bits, because you had that, I want to say, Martin.
There was a Martin, there was a D, I want to say 60, I've forgotten now. 45, it doesn't matter. There was a 6 grand Martin. There was a very nice Hummingbird that went for 3 or 4 grand. It was, of course, my Gibson ES175. I think I got 4.2 for that, something like that. Which is a big old chunk of, you know, my what will be my house deposit, I guess. And yes, and now this. Of course, I don't get any of this. I'm just giving the money to my auntie. She's trying to give me a percentage, but of course, I'm not going to take that. But
99%. You're like, I'll take 99%.
Exactly. To be honest, like, that guitar is all the jingles for it would live on forever as the jingles guitar for guitar nerds until I inevitably change the jingle next year. And then
I would have I would have actually bought that off you if I'd have had the money at the time. Mm. It's just that great guitar.
It was
not
good.
To it rub was, it in, but
it was an amazing guitar, but it was too flamey for me. Mm. Like for a guitar that was supposed to be a 59, it was a very modern flame, if that makes any sense. I'm sure plenty of old guitars had flames like that. But, you know, when something's flamey these days, it reeks a PRS to me. And so as much as it was an amazing guitar, a bit too blingy. Too blingy.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it's been a busy old week, Matt. I'm aware that we've got quite a lot to talk about. Like, you've had a heck of a time for Boss releases. Barely got to speak to you last week for all your releases and stuff.
I was very busy.
Yeah, exactly. I've been on a bit of an amp thing. As you can see, Matt, I've got my Katana 2, my little Katana 50, back as the main amp that I'm using in my room. It's been the Fender Blues Junior for a long time. That's been sort of sat behind me.
It's we did talk despite me being busy and my I'm not usually blunt in text, but we did have a bit of back and forth about amps because you've been trying to work out what you're doing for the next Polymath record and that sort of stuff, aren't you? And we were back and forth about Katana and some other bits and you know, I'm sure you'll talk about it now, but I'll start by saying you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And it's just, I always think that with gear, I've certainly been thinking that a lot with pedals recently. You fluff around with loads of stuff and then you just always come back to the stuff that you always liked. It's just that you want to try some other bits. That's
all. Exactly. And you forget that old reliable stuff actually might be the thing that you can get the best sounds out of. Yeah, you're right. So the Polymath thing was for Tim. He just not gelling with the Fender bass breaker. Too loud. You know, can't get it even onto one. And we're a loud band when we're out gigging.
Mm.
So just too much volume. So he can fit an attenuator, but also I think there's been a bit of love lost with the amp on the back of the fact that he's got to pay to, you know, have it customized because Fender couldn't make an amp with volume that works straight out of the, you know, out the door. So he was, I think he's sort of just fallen out with that amp a little bit. But he did really like having something that was super clean. He's using lots of pedals to get his different tiers of overdrive now. And so we started looking at very clean amplifiers. And that led him back to his Boss Katana, which, of course, previously he'd always used the crunch channels on. And, you know, yes, when we AB'd the Katana on a crunch channel with other valve amps that were much more expensive, those valve amps did sound better. And that, hence, was why Tim ended up benching the Katana. But using the clean setting on a solid state amplifier and opening up, because you've got essentially three tiers of, I guess, volume and gain on the Katana. You've got gain and volume, and then you've got a master control as well.
Yeah.
As well as, I guess, having your tiering of how many watts you're running the amplifier at. Actually opening up the master fully and then doing everything through the gain and the volume of that particular channel, especially when you're on the higher wattage settings, amazing solid state clean tone. Just really, really great sounding amplifier. So he's very much sort of really enjoying using that, but he's still like, what he wants is the last amp, you know. He just wants something that is absolutely tour ready, always going to be amazing, and he's going to use in the studio. And so, you know, we started thinking about jazz choruses, which is, of course, why I was messaging you for, you know, some advice and information on running jazz chorus. So we're going to go, me and him are going to go try some out at Brighton Electric on Wednesday. I'm going to see how that goes. But the trusty jazz chorus, I know what you were saying about it, Matt. You're saying, you know, it is super big and super heavy, but that's not so much a problem for us. Plus, Tim has found out that it was the amp that that Robert Fripp used to use.
I mean, I absolutely love the JC. I mean, it's the longest running production of an amplifier ever.
Right, of any amp.
I'm pretty sure of any amp.
Well,
because there's no other amp. I mean, defy to say another amp that's remained unchanged.
Yeah.
Since 1974.
Right.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I mean, it's pretty mad, really, if you think about it. We've made that amp for over 40 years.
Yeah.
Nearly 50 years.
Yeah.
Well, 50 years, because we launched the 50th anniversary this year. So 50.
Of course, yeah.
50 years.
In the lovely cherry blossom finish.
So, you know, 50 years, and you think we've been making that amp continuously since then. And there's a reason, and it's just, there's nothing else that sounds like it. There's a reason that so many amp modelers and multi-effects have like a JC Clean or something similar. It's because it is legendary. You know, you see it in backlines of all these bands, you know, in the studio. There's always like rehearsal rooms, you know, rentals, because they don't break. They're super loud. They're super clean. And the chorus sound is unlike anything else. I mean, that was the invention of the spatial chorus effect.
Yeah.
And they are very immediate. They're very, I guess, like forward in terms of the sound. Like, as soon as you play, it comes back at you.
It's very brash. It's very in your face. It's got a lot of presence to it, you know.
You know, and still one of the main reference amps that, you know, Boss use as a kind of reference point for designing pedals and testing pedals, and of course, you know, doing testing with a lot of other things, but JC, because it's so consistent.
Yeah.
You know, that's the main thing, isn't it? When you are solid state, you've got no valves, you've got no things that could change, you've got no things that could be different. That, you know, definitely helps. But it is an incredible. I got one of the 50th anniversary ones out. We've got one in the office, and it's just like you plug it in and you just turn the chorus on, and and of course the you know, you've got spring reverb, real spring reverb in there as well.
Yeah,
really with a special, if I remember rightly, it's a special configuration of spring. I think it's like a Z-shaped spring, if I remember rightly. I'd have to Google it to double check it. But I've got a JC22.
Yeah.
Yes, 22, which I think is 30 watts with the two 8-inch speakers.
Yeah.
And that thing sounds great for home use. It's super clean.
Great for a home amp, great little recording amp.
I was actually using it in a 3-amp setup for a while, and probably when I move and got a bit more space, I might try and rig up something ridiculous.
Yes, you absolutely should.
But yeah, it's a great sounding amp. I mean, I think one of my favorite uses recently is Wes Borland has, I think, a Mesa Boogie and a JC120 and then just an AB pedal that just goes between those two things. So what more do you need? What more do you need?
Yeah, that does sound good. The 40 is, of course, the other option, but a couple of 10s. And, you know, Tim, like a lot of dear listener, like a lot of you, like a lot of guitarists, and me included, still get funny about 10s. Still not, you know, rightly or wrongly slow. So worried about not having 12s.
I think 10s, the 40's definitely brighter. Definitely got, because those 10s don't have as much low end.
Yeah.
I mean, I still really miss my JC50, which was
50. That was the 15, wasn't it?
No, I had a JC50, which had, actually, was it a 115 or was it a 112? I think it was a 112, but they did do a 1. Maybe it was 115. I can't remember now. But they also did, because they did a 55, which was a 2 8-inch combo.
Right. Was it the 160 that was a 410?
Yeah, 160. And also, I when I was in Japan about 5 years ago, a store had a JC200, which is the head.
Oh, yes.
And I'm just like, that is ridiculous. Actually, the thing is, jazz choruses now, you can buy them. Obviously, you can still buy new ones, and it's still popular. But also, you can get secondhand ones for sort of relatively decent price as well.
Well, that is because they are big and heavy, and no one wants to post them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't even remember what the actual weight is, but yeah, they are crazy heavy. I remember, I think it was when we launched the Tone Bender, and Ant Macari did a kind of talk and stuff about it, and he said he remembered the first time that they got one in, and it was just like unlike any other amp they'd ever plugged in.
Right.
I would totally have a JC120 in the rig, and I wouldn't necessarily say it's like the best pedal platform, because it is very bright, it's very direct, and some people want a softer sounding, clean amp to just for their drive pedals and their fuzzes and things like that. So, you know, I think that's why Gitana, like you say, the Gitana Clean Sound's been really popular.
Yeah.
But if you've never plugged a JC120 in, then I urge you all to go to a shop and plug in a JC120.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it on Wednesday.
Let me know how you get on.
Yes, I certainly will do. That is going to be great. Now, I tell you what, last week we picked up, we were sent one of the new Jodo catalog guitars for 2023, the Gas Jockey. Now, I put a little video up of this on Instagram of me, you know, so when it turned up and I opened it up and everything, and it got an awful lot of very positive comments about this guitar. And so I've been recording things with it this week, but dear listener, the Gas Jockey is absolutely fantastic. Strat body shape, but Firebird-esque thing. So think of the Reverend Greg Koch, the second one that he did that was Firebird-y, but instead of a telly, we're talking about a Strat done like a Firebird. So we've got that raised central bit. We've got three mini Wilkinson humbuckers. You've got a three-way pickup selector, so you're always choosing between a combination, but then you have two individual volume controls which will apply to whatever two pickups are in the combo. So you can always turn it down to sort of a single, a single mini humbucking version in any one of those settings. But those three humbuckers, when you're always using two, no matter where you are, gives you that lovely scooped Strat sound, but bigger and bolder. The neck is fantastic, very Gibson-y profile neck. Obviously, it's a glued neck construction, but the neck feels fantastic. We got it in the lovely gold with gold hardware, big block inlays, lovely angle back black headstock with the Jodo Gas Jockey logo on it. I mean, $799 with a hard case. there's much bang for buck.
And they're I didn't realize they're limited edition.
Oh, are they? Right.
Yeah, according to the vintage website, limited edition of 100 Gas Jockey in original vintage guitar gear case created by Jodo Guitars and Vintage UK design team. And I guess we should probably say, for people who don't know, Jodo are basically a one-man team who designed some crazy one-off electric guitars.
And amazing custom shops.
It's just like an amazing custom shop beyond anything you've ever seen. Check them out, Joe Doe Guitars. And everyone comes with its own unique story and its own kind of...
It's a fictional story, isn't it?
It's a fictional story, yeah.
Every guitar is made as if it belonged to a fictional person. And Ben, the guy behind Joe Doe Guitars, creates a whole story and backstory which you can discover, you know, via the guitars. And that's how his custom shop works. Like, imagine if this guitar, and it will always be something ridiculous. Like, do you remember they did that Telecaster that was like the Folsom Prison telly, and it was supposed to be a guitar, but if the telly was owned by the by the prison institution, and so it had like a secret hidden neck pickup that the inmates had put in that couldn't be known by the guards and stuff like that. It's like there's always ridiculous backstories.
So here's Ben's a screenwriter by trade, so that's where a lot of those stories come from. But if you want a really cool piece of guitar prop, I guess, in some ways, on their website or on their Reverb shop, they do a lot of different rhythm treble selector switches.
Oh yeah, for guitars. They do like Hendrix Page.
Rhythm Tremble, Dazed Confused, Lift Off Standby, Heavy Mental, Blah Blah, and La La La, which I like. But yeah, this, going back to the vintage, very, very cool. I think it's great that, you know, such radical guitar designs or stories or ideas can be realized at a much more affordable price.
Unbelievable price. $799 is crazy. Let me read the backstory to the Gas Jockey, which is on the vintageguitarsrus.com website. So where did the origin story behind the Jodo Gas Jockey begin? Well, it all began on a gas station forecourt in 1960. Wally Songman Saban is a living, breathing human jukebox. Pull up into his New Jersey gas station on Fellowship Road, and he'll not only fill your car with gas, but will play any song you can think of on his electric guitar. How is it possible? For the 63 years Wally has worked on the station forecourt, he's been accompanied by music from his AM radio, playing Billboard hits of the day. He only needs to hear a song once before the notes become transcribed and etched into his musical DNA. There's a weathered sign hanging over the entrance to the station. Challenge Wally for $5. If he can't play your song, then gas is on him. Locals know not to take the bait, but if you're new to town, you'll try your luck. Suggest something obscure from the 70s and end up $5 worse off. Wally has only lost the challenge once, when he failed to play a request from Loretta Marshall in 1982. She left with a free tank full of gas, and Wally got her number. They've been together ever since.
I want to watch that. I want to watch that as a script. I want to read that whole screenplay now. But it's great. I love it. It just gives the guitars character and soul.
It actually it comes with a load of custom stickers in the hard case as well that are all sort of plays on American petrol or gas companies. So I think that, you know, they have Gulf, don't they? And so it's something else. It says, I don't know, it says Glum or something like that, but all in the same font. And they do a few of those, all that sort of thing. So it even comes with stickers for you to stick on it if you're that way inclined.
Love it. So, I love it. Yeah. And yeah, no, that's great. And I just, they're so vintage at the moment from their UK design team, the 2023 collection. You've also got the Gambler, which is their sort of like thin line telly with its own poker chip that you can rub for luck. The Gas Jockey, and then you've also got the Hot Rod electric guitars, which are kind of LP shapes with pinstriping, And then they also do some sort of like P bases with
first bases they've done in the I think in the
with
Jodo
blue
line.
And black paisley finishes. So very, very cool. Definitely worth checking out. But for me, this is probably the winner for me. As you say, it's that that raised center, the three Firebird pickups, the kind of Strats shape, really nice headstock, cool finish. Definitely, as you say, it's got that kind of vibe of that Reverend as well. But I think 799 is a very, very cool guitar.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's stay on that for a minute because I've recorded the demos this week using that guitar, but I was aware that the pedals I were using were relatively full on, so I've tried to dial some of the sounds back so you can really hear that incredible sort of super powered Strat scoop to the pedals, but to the guitar. But the pedals that we're demoing this week are from a pretty new company called Buzzing Bugs Audio Devices. Follow them on Instagram at Buzzing Bugs FX, the letters F and X. Really new, small company from Brighton. In fact, a friend of Jay Cross's, Matt, I think is coming out with us on Friday night when we come down to the Brighton Guitar Show, which is the next thing we should talk about after this. But so Buzzing Bugs Effects, they do maybe three pedals, but they sent me a couple. They're BB01 and they're BB02. The 01 is a fuzz preamp. The O2 is a percolator fuzz. Now, from what I understand, the team behind Buzzing Bugs are obsessed with harmonic percolators and that sort of full-bodied, full-bore, fuzzy distortion tone. And that's what they've tried to bring with these pedals. And they've really nailed it with the percolator fuzz, which is a simple two-control pedal, much like, a harmonic percolator. And then the fuzz preamp is like a three. I'm just picking up, dear listener. It's like a three control fuzz, but the reason it's called a fuzz preamp is you have the ability to kind of dial it back a little bit and get some more organic sounding, richer, clearer tones. And the additional control they've added, the third control, is a high cut, which I've completely defeated. And my goodness, it's like the most raspy. It made it sound like I was playing an aluminium guitar. You know, it just had that. So much presence and so much treble, which I absolutely loved. So both of these pedals are fantastic. I have to go out on a limb with the BB02, the percolator fuzz. I don't say this about an awful lot of pedals, dear listener, but it's £119. It is absolutely fantastic. If you want a harmonic percolator, this pedal was incredible. I loved it. I loved every second of playing it. Just a simple silicon transistor based two control volume and gain fuzz, but there was so much character, so much tone, so full bodied. So I've recorded a little demo for this week with each pedal. First of all, I'm going to give you the harmonic, which I wrote like a little punk number on because I feel like that's what a harmonic percolator deserves. And then we'll listen to the fuzz preamp where I'm just doing a guitar solo thing, just so you can hear sort of the character of the guitar mixed with this gorgeous fuzz preamp. But they're very good. I'm interested to see what you think of this as well, Matt. But this is the Buzzing Bugs percolator. There it was.
Ooh, I like that bit at the end.
where I stopped every single guitar in a slightly different place. Yeah,
yeah, I like that. I like that. It sounds great. You know, I think for me, instant vibes of, I guess that kind of instant vibes of Queen of the Stone Age, not that sort of like, as like that sort of honky mid-range, yeah, like a Cocked Wah sort of vibe, but very kind of grungy, very modern sounding fuzz, I thought.
Yeah.
But sits in a mix really well. And, you know, I say it every time we do one of these, especially when it comes to like a fuzz pedal. I think it's so important to hear how it sits in a mix like that, because I think that really tells you what it's going to be like. Sounds great at home. And then, yeah, you go out and play or record with it and it just disappears. And it's just, yeah, like you say, it's fat. It's really, really fat sounding fuzz. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, really fat, loads of character. Not too many artifacts or anything when you start.
Yeah, it didn't have the kind of fuzz factory sort of. Yeah, no, it wasn't like a Velcro-y type fuzz, and it certainly wasn't a sort of, yeah, glitchy top-end fuzz or anything like that. It was just a really good fat-sounding fuzz pedal.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Dead simple. I don't think I changed the controls on any of the guitars, on any of the like five or six guitars that I was running on that clip. I think it was actually just the same. It was just, you know, played in different parts. Obviously, there was a bit of reverb on there, dear listener. Yeah, I had the gain just under full. And the volume, wherever it's at.
Is it based on a harmonic percolator? Because it's called a percolator fuzz. Yeah, yeah. And that's still one of the sort of most mysterious fuzz distortion pedals there are, realistically. I think it sounds like they've nailed it. I thought it sounded great.
Really, really have nailed it. It was just a perfect, that full-bodied percolator sound. It was great. Yeah. But this is the preamp. Let's listen to the preamp as well, which you can get a little bit more, I guess, character out of, or basically more dynamics out of than you can the harmonic percolator. So perfect if you want to do something other than, you know, a Hives cover. Here it is.
So I could tell you liked it, Joe, because that demo went on much longer than your other demos.
Sorry, yeah, I guess it did.
And that was not a bad thing. That was absolutely not a criticism. But I thought it sounded. I could tell that you liked it just by the way that the guitar. Not that you have to struggle playing with anything else that you play or create for those things, but definitely it felt like really in your zone. Did you what guitar was that? The Jodo guitar as well?
Always the Jodo, yeah. Always the Jodo on the
great. It sounds really good.
Sounds really good. On the bridge, but it's the bridge with the middle, I guess. So it's the bottom two pickups. So a bit like an in-between position on a Strat. But yeah, that BB01 fuzz is inspired by the Vox AC normal channel.
Okay.
The BB01 fuzz, I'm just reading off their website now, the BB01 fuzz preamp is a hybrid transistor op-amp based fuzz circuit with a sweeping gain which offers anything from a dirty amp pushing boost to a blown out speaker fuzz. That's the gist.
Yeah, no, I thought it sounded... I think if I was going to pick one at those two demos, I would probably... the second one, the preamp, and I would probably use that as an almost always on,
yeah,
and just use the guitar volume quite a lot to sort of clean it up or alter it.
Yeah, it was very interactive, very dynamic. I loved it. I had a great time with both pedals. But yeah, like I say, dear listener, pretty fresh company here and kind of friends of the podcast as well. So, we're going to meet them at the end of this week on Friday night, where we're all going out for a pre-Brighton guitar show, drinks and dinner sort of thing. But, of course, the exciting thing there is the Brighton Guitar Show. The first ever Brighton Guitar Show is...
Indeed.
This Saturday, 15th of July, 10 until 5, at the Brighton Racecourse. I'm very excited.
We're going to see lots of people we haven't seen in a very long time.
That's right.
I think it's... I mean, I don't remember there ever being any sort of Brighton-based guitar show ever in the whole time that we've ever... You know, I'd certainly lived there and did anything. And I think it's going to be nice. It's going to be really nice to be there, be a bunch of brands, a lot of people we know. I think these shows are always about making new friends and seeing the people that you haven't seen for a long time.
Yeah.
And these kind of smaller expos are nice because they're just small. I think everyone's got the same booth set up. I think everyone's going to have like a table.
Yeah.
And it just gives you a chance to go in and see some stuff and, you know, find some new things.
Yeah.
I think as well. So there's a whole bunch of brands. I mean, people like, you know, Xander, you know, I haven't seen those guys for ages. Thorpe's there. So it'd be good to see those guys.
Well, we're going to talk about his new pedal a bit later, Thorpe's new pedal. So that will be great. I think, actually, Matt, you and I are hosting a Q&A with Adrian on his, it's probably going to be largely about his new pedal.
Yes, we're going to talk about that, I'm sure. I've got lots of difficult questions to ask him. Bleak District Electric are there. They're the ones that demoed the...
It was the fuzz with the looper on it.
Micro looper, which I still think is very cool.
So cool.
String Joy are there. I don't know who String Joy are distributed through. I'm assuming Blake's not coming all the way over.
We do know the fella, and I forgot
Oh, he's going to listen to this and hate me.
But, no.
But it's been a long day. No, it's going to be good. There's going to be a lot of people there, and Monty's there as well, so it'd be good to see Matt.
I think there's some giveaways as well. Looks like Rota Sound and Ernie Ball. Well, that's going to be competing, isn't it? Both of them are doing some giveaways. Sander's doing a giveaway.
But there's also, looking on the list of exhibitors, Brighton Vintage Pedals. Who's that? How do we not know them?
Brighton Vintage Pedals. I do not know.
It's going to be up at the Racecourse, Brighton, if you're in the UK and you fancy a day out for guitars. It'd be good to come and support. You know, this is the first one, so I think it'd be really nice if we could make it a success so we could do more of them, bring back more local shows. That's what I say. We just want to see more guitar shows. I think because NAMM's not around, you know, there's more chance for people to come and see cool stuff, local stuff, and actually be able to like try gear and have a conversation about it rather than wander around a giant venue and not be able to talk to anyone because things are so busy and so loud and everyone's been out the night before. And well, actually, we will also be out the night before.
Yeah.
But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Please do come along. Just because we want to make a success and see more of them.
Please do come along. Apparently, ticket sales have been fantastic over the last week, so I think it is actually going to be pretty decent. So
nice.
That will be wonderful. My favorite thing about going to a guitar show is I really like bringing some money and not knowing what I'm going to spend it on.
Yes.
I like to be talked into things, convinced.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I just want to know...
I'm coming away with a pedal. I just don't know what one.
Yeah,
I'm looking at some of the things. There's Intensive Care Audio. They're going to be there. They make some cool-looking pedals.
Oh, yeah, we've seen some of those before. Lola Pickups, they all come through the same distributor. So it'd be cool to talk about those. There's some brands that I've not heard of before. There's going to be some guitar brands I've not heard of before. So yeah, it's going to be a nice chance to check out some different stuff as well and see some smaller stuff. Everyone keeps going on about these NRG effects as well. So yeah. Maybe that's what I'll save my pennies for.
Yeah, do it. Oh yeah, they're very good. You definitely should. It's going to be...
And yeah, it'll be good for everyone to come along to the Q&As that, you know, we're hosting as well. Not a full plan on what or when, or we know when, we just don't know what we're doing yet.
We haven't worked out what we're going to say.
Yeah. But we'll wing it. That's what we've done for the last 10 years. I'm sure we can just continue to do that. No problem.
I'll make it up on the spot. We sorted this out with Phil, who's organized the Brighton Guitar Show. And he was like, you want to do some, you know, guitar nerds sort of Q&A thing? I was like, yeah, sure, man, whatever you want. And then, like at the start of this week, he was like, here's the list. And it looks like I'm hosting all of them, all of the Q&As. And there were like six or eight. And they are the entire day. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to see any of the guitar show. But that's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah, you'll have to go in early and then just run between the sessions and just... Yeah. Find something.
exactly. I'm sure. It's going to be great. So, dear listener, I do hope we're going to see some of you. Apologies to all the people who aren't UK-based for us spending so long talking about a show that you can't come to. But, you know, whatever. You guys get NAM.
True.
Exactly. So we should, Matt, I feel like we should talk about this thing that that went a bit wild on the group today when, well, Mark Packham messaged me earlier today and was like, you should share this. It's an incredible deal. So I shared it on the Guitar Nerds group, and sure enough, people went mad for it. Moog Gravit, our trusty Moog Gravit, went ahead and bought one. And I am, of course, talking about the Relish Trinity series guitars. They're pickup swapping, gorgeous looking, very elegant, modern electric guitars, single cut, lovely. We spoke about them years ago at NAMM when they first came out, and they were like £4,000-5,000 guitars. They released their Trinity series, which was an affordable version of those guitars. They were about £1,500 initially. They went down recently to 649, something like that, 699, and now they are in a sale at £349 British pounds.
Crazy. These are, yeah, company out of Switzerland, and I think the nice thing is, you say, Joe, very modern, very sleek looking, bolt on design. But yeah, but the main thing is this sort of pickup swapping system. They literally unscrew via a bolt on the back and you just pull them straight out, and then you can pop a different set straight in. I don't think it has to be theirs, right? I don't think you can pop any pickup in.
Do you get other pickups when you pay £350?
I think so.
Very surprised if you did.
So they do a P90, a single coil, and a humbucker, and you can do any combination of those.
Right.
Maybe you do get them with it.
Well, no, it does say on the listing that it says, want more pickups? Relish housed pickups are available on the Cream Tea Custom Shop website. So that's where you get them. So I guess this would come with a pair of humbuckers. And you can get some other things off of the Cream Tea Custom website.
I'm just having a look. I wonder if you can order. Oh, yeah, these are the people that make the BFG Banger, which was the stacked Billy Gibbons. I forgot about this. They make like a stacked Billy Gibbons humbucker, but with the wide range, three on the bass, three on the treble thing. Right. I was just trying to have a look, see.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, so they've got... So you can order any of their pickups or a bunch of their pickups that they sell,
right?
Now you can put any pickup in it, Joe. Let's be clear here, because this is great for people who are interested. You buy the pickup swapping backplates and installation, so you send your pickups to us and we'll install them onto a Relish swapping backplate. So you can buy pretty much any pickup and then they fit them for you. £99 a set or £59 per pickup. So if you've got some particular pickups that you like or that they make, you can then have it fitted with the Relish pickup swapping system.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, these are, I think, I don't know where these ones are built, but very, very modern specs. So you've got like a modern C neck shape, bolt on neck, 25 and a half inch scale length, 10 inch radius, two-way truss rod, 24 frets. So everything that you'd sort of expect from a nice sort of modern guitar.
Yeah. It's got kind of a Manson-y body shape to it. That's sort of how I feel about it. There's something a bit Bellamy-esque about this.
It's very smooth lines and curves, isn't it?
Lots of beveling going on, yeah. Available in three colours, silver, satin black, and the white, I can't make out if it's satin or not. Could be either.
Yeah, and then there's also, I think there's two models as well. So they're actually doing the Trinity.
Oh, in the sale, really?
Yeah, are Trinity they? Pickup swapping electric guitar in vintage white, silver, black. And then there is also, I'm just going to, because I did look at it earlier and then I lost the page. there's also, yeah, so there must be two. I don't know what the difference is, but there's pickup swapping electric guitar in silver, velvet black, ice blue, vintage white at $349, and then there's some at $699. I don't know what the difference is between those ones. There's only a couple that are $349. I think that might just maybe be one colour that's discounted then.
Well, it's three colours that are discounted on the Sound Effects website on Reverb.
Yes, I can. Yeah, I can see that now. And then there's also, yeah, because I've actually got this Relish Trinity electric guitar with detachable pickups in blue at $699, was originally $1,900.
Wow. Deals to be had, people. Deals to
indeed.
Be had.
Indeed. And yes, you can buy replacement pickups from Sound Effects as well.
They've got plenty there as well. Indeed. This seems like a great deal. Moog, do let us know how you get on with it when you get it. And if you get any of these pickup options from Sound Effects, they have got a whole bunch. I really like the Cream Tea original, the Banger Bridge pickup, which is, as you said, Matt, the split wide range style humbucker. That's pretty cool. They also do a Bangers and Mash, which is two. I see it's bangers, I guess. It's two lipstick pickups sandwiched together to make a humbucker, which is very cool. They've got the Duchess P90, which is a Gibson-style P90. They've got a whole bunch. There's some really, really cool stuff here. I'd be really interested to see how Moog gets on with it. And if any of you, dear listener, if any of you have also purchased one, do let us know. I want to know
I'm really keen to try one because the only ones I've ever tried are the sort of $3,500 ones that were announced at NAMM sort of several years ago. So it'd be interesting to see. I'm sure these ones are going to be made in a decent factory somewhere. So I imagine they're going to be sort of nice quality and just something a bit different. Do you know what I mean? I think I like that, you know, and the fact that you can put any pickup in, you know, yes, there's a bit of expense, but if there's a particular pickup you like or you want, at least you know you can fit it without too much hassle. You know, it's not like you're locked into their system, in a sense. You can put your own pickups in there if you want, which is quite nice.
I like the idea that they've made it super easy. That's really cool. Obviously, the look isn't quite my cup of tea, but I love everything else about it.
I think it's just one of those things, isn't it? It's like, how often are you going to swap the pickups out? I think that's always the thing.
I think I would. And it would be nice to not have to buy a new guitar to do that or have to mess around with soldering irons to do that. You know, you can fit anything with these. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think it's quite good that it looks like a relatively simple like locking system, so kind of easy to have other pickups fitted to it.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, it's more about being able to mix and match easier.
Right.
Rather than going and going to have two humbuckers, but, you know, like a single coil and a P90 or a single coil and a humbucker and switching around the position and stuff like that. That's always really nice.
Yeah, I completely agree. Very cool indeed. that, dear listener, is the question duck, reminding me to remind you that after Matt and I finish here, we head over onto our Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where we're going to talk about, well, I mean, I say we're going to talk about questions from the Guitar Nerds group, which we will potentially, but there's also like some cool news items and stuff like that that we'd like to talk about as well. But we might talk about some of these things, like Jeff B has been talking about the IK Multimedia Tone X and Tone Net, where people are now, because the product's been around for enough time, there are loads and loads of modeled of captures of modeled amplifiers, high quality brilliant amps modeled by people. He is saying that he has to sift through a lot of less well done.
That's always the problem.
Always the problem. But nonetheless, it's still free access to some incredible tones for an absolute fraction of the price of the competition. So maybe we'll talk about that. Peter Pesci's talking about instrument insurance. I'm a big advocate of that. Maybe we'll talk about some options there. Rob Patterson, recently been looking for the, after we spoke about it last week when you were away, Matt, the Music Nomad Frying Kit, which I know you're a big fan of, as am I.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely.
So, yeah, so the fretboard polish kit. So maybe we'll talk about some of those things as well. But we've got some news items and we haven't done topic of the week yet. So let's do that now. This week's topic was chosen by Ross Edwards. So Ross said, how about Guthrie Govan going fully digital? Am I a Luddite for wanting to see glowing glass bottles and feeling my trousers flapping in the breeze created by a 412? How much longer do Valve stroke tube amps have? That is the question. How do you, this is quite well trodden subject matter for us. I feel like we've spoken about this.
Yeah.
What do you think, Matt? Do you think things are changing? Are they moving? I'm on the reverse. I'm going through a real gear phase again now. If during lockdown I went very digital, I'm sort of on the reverse of that. So I feel maybe I'm out of what's in vogue at the moment.
I think what goes around comes around, or whatever the phrase is. I honestly think people will come back.
Tone Master is still
people will come back to Valve amps. I don't think Valve technology is going anywhere. Digital technology has been around for a very, very long time, and people have been using and integrating that sort of technology for a very, very long time. I think when you look at guys like Guthrie or various other like big touring musicians,
yeah,
it's an ease of use and setup thing, and sure. And it's consistent. I mean, someone like do a lot of work with like Alex Hutchins, you know, similar in a vein to Guthrie, you know, doing a lot of clinics, traveling around. It's like, don't know what your backline's going to be. You're going to do clinics or masterclasses. You want consistent sound. You want all your sounds in one box. You need to be able to get it on a plane. Like, everyone likes a Valve amp, realistically. And, you know, look at someone like Tosin Abbasi. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm using, you know, Axe FX and all of that sort of stuff. And then it's like, oh, now I've gone to, now I've gone back to using, he was using Morgan. Now he's like gone back to another company. Yeah. And I just think most guitar players, 95% of guitar players will like a Valve amp and they will want a 412. And that's kind of what we want to see because that's what we've grown up with.
Yeah.
And I think maybe there's a lot more players out there who I certainly see online who haven't grown up with that, who are using plugins, who are using modelers to great effect. And I just think that, yeah, there's just an older, different generation of players who still want to see and use Valve amps. I don't think they're ever going to disappear. And right. I think realistically, in some ways, it'll probably be a bit like vinyl and it'll just come back.
Yeah.
It'll just come back.
I also think with this, it really comes down to the type of player. Like Ross here has cited Guthrie Govan as if that's a player who should be playing Valve amps. I don't necessarily think so. His signature models have been modern and pretty tasteless they've been not traditional. They're very modern looking. Like he's been trying to be you know modern with all his stuff for some time.
I think he's trying to be versatile with all of his guitars. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you're playing, it's a guitar that sort of does a bit of everything.
Yeah.
And I just think those people,
those,
you know,
people have always been looking for this, though, as a solution.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, he doesn't use a huge amount of sounds, and it's like, why would you take a whole pedal board around where there's inconsistencies when you can take that? I mean, I get it. Like, you know, sometimes you want to see it on stage. And we talked about this, you know, before, and it's like, I loved seeing, you know, last year, and I'm seeing him again in a couple of weeks, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers play a stadium, and, you know, they're not playing to a click, and there's real amps on stage, and everything's just turned up, and, you know, it just sounds huge.
Look at Arctic Monkeys' headline set at Glasto, all real vintage gear, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's some bands and some guitar players that make that choice, and I think there's other bands that go, you know what, we either need it for practical reasons, like, you know, if you look at Periphery, I saw their Rig Rundown, and I was talking to another friend of mine, he plays in Pendulum, and it's just like everything, light shows, music, tracks, click, it's all synced up. He's like, you can't be turning pedals on and off, you just need it to do it for you, and then you can go and enjoy the show and enjoy all the playing.
It's so perfect for bands like that. Like my friends in, well, I forget your friend too, in Rolo Tomassi. Of course, ex-GAC employees on drums.
Yes, indeed.
But the Rolo Tomassi, everything is triggered from their pedal changes, and their lights are all running off of one sequence of triggering, all on a click track, and that's exactly the right thing for that sort of band, so that they can absolutely throw themselves around and perform like that with such a tight, brilliant show. But you know, if you want to go and see like a little rock and roll band, they need that looseness, or a jam band, they need that creativity that comes with the organic gear. So whilst some genres will move to digital because it makes more sense for them, I think blues and rock and roll and jazz are all pretty safe still.
Yeah, it's not like, I don't know if this is a good comparison or not, but it's not like electric cars, where their normal cars are dangerous to the environment and people are moving to electric because there is everyone's trying to get to a certain point and people are stopping, have actively said, we're not going to make any more petrol cars. That's not really been the case with amplifiers, and I think people are still making, new companies are coming out and making valve amps and their take on a circuit.
Well, and, did we talk about this sort of stuff? Did we talk about this, Matt, or is it with someone else on the podcast, about the whole thing with Ashdown, the reason they don't like making anything Class D, and that they make all the hybrid amps and they stock so much in spares, is because Dave Green, the designer, wants to make sure every single amp is repairable for 25 years at least afterwards. And the problem with so many bass amp companies going to Class D, I'm not excluding Ashdown from that, dear listener. They make a bunch of Class D stuff, which they are begrudgingly aware of, but trends are Class D. When a Class D amplifier goes, it goes. You know, that's it. Mm. That is now landfill. That's not a good thing in 2023. That's not the direction we should be going in when we have a perfectly good option in solid state stuff to make something that's completely repairable. But, you know, every single bass player complained about their backs. So I guess
it's
a landfill.
Yeah, I think the thing is as well, is just that you can create a lot more character with a valve amp than you can a Class D, I guess, in some ways. But I think they both just have their place, and it just depends on what you want and what you need, realistically.
Yes.
But I don't blame you. I don't blame Ross Edwards for going, I want to see a real amp on stage. Wouldn't we all? But do you know what? Sometimes it just ain't practical.
No, quite the case. Now, that does, in fact, bring us up to the end of this week's podcast. I am aware, dear listener, that we haven't selected we haven't done a spin on the wheel for next week, but that's because next week we're going to be doing a whole rundown of the guitar show. So we'll do that the following week. But Right now, Matt and I are going to head over to Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where we're going to record a whole extra episode. We're going to talk about maybe the new 1981 pedal, maybe the new Boss ME90 or whatever it is you guys are on now, something like that. Maybe some of the questions from the group. If you want to listen to that, then head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds. There's loads of information there on how you can join, sign up and support the Guitar Nerds podcast. If you want to get in touch with us for any reason at all, info@guitarnerds.net, or DM us on Instagram, message us on Facebook, find me on Facebook. You know, there's the Guitar Nerds group there as well. If you're a Patreon supporter, contact us through Patreon. Whew. Well, whew, there it is.
Show.
Yeah, made it. We made it. So we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Well, with another week's podcast out of the way and 1 week closer to the Brighton Guitar Show, it just leaves me to say thank you very, very much to all our wonderful top-tier Patreon backers. Thank you eternally to Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russell Meehan, Barry Grespick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, Joran Brown, John Conaway, The Studio Rats, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Brian Einster, Mark Hizau Kadawaki, Stuart Robson, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Rodomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losek, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and of course, Moog Gravitt.